everybody. Welcome to the OETA Movie Club podcast. My name is Jeff Moreva. I'm the director of the show, and I'm here with our host, Mr. Robert Birch.
Hey, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today. How are you?
Pretty good. It's a little windy today.
It is very windy today. Good thing we're inside in this nice, cozy studio.
It's a double toupee tape day today. That's
So today we've got something a little special. We've got a double feature.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about two great movies, both about writers.
Uh-huh.
The first one is Cross Creek, 1983, and the next one is The Ghost Rider from 2010.
So a little time difference
between
these two. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And they're vastly different films.
They are
even
vastly
though
different
about
films.
Writers. But, yeah, the first one, right, it's about the famous author Marjorie Keenan Rawlings.
Yes.
Right? She's best known for her novel The Yearling. A great
I had to read it in school. Everybody has to read it in eighth grade or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was made into a film, back in 64?
46. Yeah, with Gregory Peck.
Uh-huh.
Great actor.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. And, pretty good movie. I'll be honest, I had not heard of it until we got ready for this podcast.
Uh-huh.
And watching it was pretty good.
I remember this being on the shelf at Blockbuster. I can't remember watching it back then. I have seen it since.
Yeah.
You know, but. Yeah, I love Mary Steenburgen.
Yeah, she's great in this.
Big fan. When they made this film, she was married to Malcolm McDowell.
Right.
Right? They did the Time After Time.
Time After Time.
I love that film.
1979.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, just fell in love with her when seeing that. And apparently he did as well.
Right.
But, you know, like so many Hollywood marriages, it doesn't last very long.
It lasted longer than a lot, though. It lasted 10
that's
years.
True.
10
yeah.
years, which is,
yeah.
in Hollywood standards, that's pretty long, man.
That's an eternity.
Right? It is an eternity. I mean, when I read September and October, I thought it was going to say the same year. That's
right.
Usually how short they are. But no, it was September 80 to October 90.
Uh-huh.
So 10 years. So, pretty decent run.
Well,
let's talk a little bit about some of the music in this movie, because I think that's some of my favorite parts is the fiddle tunes.
Uh-huh.
And some of the old-time era and regional music.
They went to quite a bit of trouble to make this authentic. All of those tunes that Rip Torn's character plays in this were all very accurate to the time period and to the region. You know, the North Florida...
Right.
You know, backwoods area,
yep.
And it was based on the recordings of a guy named Cush Holston, who was the real deal.
Yeah,
backwoods fiddler, and there's a song that Rip Torn plays in this Coon Dog, or the other one, Have a Good Time Tonight.
Yeah,
Cush had recorded back in
1960 at a folk festival. Yeah,
at a folk festival.
Live recordings. Yeah.
Then they had a guy that was very familiar with Holston's work come back and re-record that. You know, for the better audio.
Yeah.
For the program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got some really great music in it. Rip Torn sings and
Uh huh. Not known for his singing.
Not known for his singing. And so some great music in this movie.
Right. Now, I love Rip Torn. I love him in Defending Your Life with Albert Brooks. He's fantastic. You know, he plays as, like, his angel, but he's, like, his attorney, you know, in the courtroom. So, you know, it's just, am I going on trial? No, but yes. And then the Larry Sanders Show, right?
Yes.
He plays the producer on Larry Sanders Show.
Oh, yeah. That was a great show. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was a great show. All right. Well, we talked about Gregory Peck and some of the original.
Gregory Peck.
And this picture was actually filmed at a lot of the same locations in Florida as that movie. And I just thought that was really cool that they went through the trouble of going back and finding the same locations and everything. And
so this is the real deal, because there's also, the cameo in this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is one of the real characters from her life.
Norton Baskin.
Yeah. Who knew Norton Baskin would be in this film?
Yeah, he's plays a man in a rocking chair giving directions to Marjorie Rollins.
Uh-huh.
And he also acted as a consultant for the picture.
Right. But Peter Coyote plays that guy in the film.
Yeah. We were talking a little bit about Rip Torn. He and Alfre Woodard are both nominated for this.
Right.
For Oscars, which is really cool. I had no idea.
Yeah, really nice.
But
Best Supporting Actors for both.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And this was like the only film that year to have a Best Supporting Actor and Best Supporting Actress both nominated from that film.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of those little things that happen. You know, we hear about, well, it was the first time the choreographer and a writer were nominated for the
same movie. Yeah. Mary Steenburgen, she's still the only actress to ever play Marjorie Rollins in screen or television.
I did not know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's the only actress who ever did that. Mary Steenburgen is also the only Oscar winner in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, as we said earlier, the two Oscar nominees,
now,
Rip Torn and Alfre Woodard.
For?
That's what I was trying to think of that before I should have Googled it, but I didn't.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, I was wondering that before we started this when I was reading about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Elf,
I think.
Oh, one of my favorites.
Me too.
One of my favorites.
Me too.
But yeah, so this movie, and it starts in the year 1928, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And then kind of goes through, and she moves to this town because she thinks she's going to get quiet and, you know.
Right, peace and quiet.
Peace and quiet and everything. And then it doesn't quite happen that way.
Right.
She has her editor bugging her. She has these men who are a little bit too affectionate for her.
Haven't seen an attractive woman in a long time.
Right. And then just confused neighbors who don't know why this writer is moved in next door and, you know, all this. And
it's an odd place to,
it
to
is
move to if you're not from there, you know.
Right, it is. So this film was made and released about 41 years after the film's source memoir of the same name by Marjorie Rollins. It had first been published in 1942. So that's kind of a long time from 28 to 42, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I believe it was originally published in the 30s,
38. Yeah.
Which they say in here is, of course, you know, nice ironic thing that the book was in 38 and the movie was in 83. And but
people are always looking for that sort of you know, fun little numbers, fun with numbers type deals. Now this is not our only film that we're, you know, we have a double feature this week.
Oh, I know. Yes, so we have another great movie also about a writer. This one's called The Ghost Rider.
It's a little different.
It's a little different. Ewan McGregor. I mean, it's just a little different.
So, it's. I'll set it up here.
Set it up for us, yeah.
A writer who's hired to complete the memoirs of a former British prime minister uncovers secrets that put his life in jeopardy.
Ooh.
Ooh, and then, you know, the big musical numbers ensue. But, no, just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, this. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the controversy behind this film. Because Roman Polanski,
the director.
The director of this, he was not allowed to step foot in the United States during the filming of this movie.
Well, they wanted him to step foot in the United States.
Well, they did.
They wanted to put him in prison.
Yeah, exactly. I shouldn't say he wasn't allowed as much as he didn't step foot into the United States.
A 32-year-old sex abuse case.
Yeah.
Which is rape.
Yeah.
Is really what.
Yeah.
That he's still wanted for.
Still wanted for.
Well, he's in prison now.
He's in prison, but
yeah, he came back and was tried and convicted.
Yeah. So, but filming took place in Germany and a bunch of European cities with locations that were adapted to look like Massachusetts.
Right.
And
see, like the whole the beach house in this is all completely in a soundstage. And they just did green screens out the windows
for all the Cape Cod
to make it look like they're on Cape Cod.
Yeah. So crazy.
I love Hollywood magic.
Hollywood magic. but yeah, apparently Roman Polanski, he was still, you know, involved because he was picked up by the Switzerland police and detained.
Uh-huh.
And was still able to, like, call all the shots and everything and edited from prison.
This film was edited in prison.
I mean, is
in
that
Swiss prison?
Is that for like good behavior? I mean, you get to edit your own movie. I mean, like what? I mean,
well,
how
in
the world?
Prison's very different. You know, you get chocolates on your pillow every night and yodeling. You know, three times a day. Now, whether that's
wood,
torture
wood
or not,
fongs.
You know, the Geneva is right there for the convention.
That's
you know,
right. So. Well, let's talk a little bit because you had to tell me the pronunciation of this town in Switzerland.
Oh, yeah.
He won the Silver Bear Award, which is their award for best director, but was not permitted to attend the Berlin International Film Festival because he was under arrest at his home in
Stade,
Switzerland.
Switzerland, right.
Now, tell me how you know that.
Okay. Yeah, it's an odd fact to know, right? the movie Trading Places. Right? You're familiar with this film,
yeah.
Right? I love
yeah.
this film. I've loved this, you know, forever. So there's the scene where Winthorpe is trying to sell his watch, or he's trying to pawn his watch, and B.B. King looks at it and says, I'll give you 50 bucks. And he says, 50 bucks? This is a Joshua Coe. This is accurate to three atmospheres and tells the time simultaneously in London, Paris, Rome, and Stade. And I had to look it up, you know, when I was
right.
a kid.
Okay,
know.
What is Stade?
And he says, in Philadelphia, it's worth 50 bucks.
That is a great movie. I need to watch that again. I haven't seen that in several years. So, I, you know, wrapping up the whole Roman Polanski thing, I think it's hilarious that Pierce Brosnan, with all the actors,
right.
were asked not to
talk about it,
sure. just to basically ignore it. But Pierce Brosnan, in a promotional interview, said, it's sad for all concerned, but it's also heightened the movie. The movie's in the can? He's in the can.
And we don't want to make light of
we don't,
know,
no, we don't.
The charges.
But that's actually what Pierce Brosnan happened. Said. Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah. But don't talk about it.
Don't talk about it.
But, yeah.
Well, now, speaking of Pierce Brosnan, too, you know, he played James Bond.
He did, yes.
And Ewan McGregor was actually considered to play to be a Bond.
Right, after which, Pierce Brosnan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I don't know.
Yeah.
I see him as a Jedi. You know what I mean? Like every time I see, think of him in action movie, I think he's Obi-Wan. You know? I don't know. Maybe he would have been a good Bond, but I don't know. I don't see.
He's that very flip, very fancy professor in Harry Potter,
right.
The Harry Potter series too, and he's great in like musical comedies or romantic comedies.
Don't get me wrong, he's a great actor. I don't see him as Bond. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't see him in a fistfight on top of a train.
Right, exactly. Now he doesn't have a character name in this movie.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. He said that in the script he's never named. So in his head, he named his character Gordon McFarquhar, if I'm saying that right.
A joke
Ewan McGregor.
Uh-huh.
A joke name. But yeah, he's never given a name in the movie. And even in the credits, he's simply referred to as the Ghost.
Huh.
And so no character name.
Well, and in Europe, this film is known. I think it was distributed under the name
just the Ghost.
The
yeah.
Ghost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's still referred to that. And what's funny is when it was released in America to get the PG-13 rating down because it was rated R in the UK when it was released.
There was some salty language.
Some little salty language, and so they had to take out some F bombs, and they had to take out some other words that obviously I can't mention. Our version is also edited,
right,
so know that.
Right.
No.
I expected that.
But yeah, they had to change edit the movie to get it down to PG-13 because they wanted a wider audience.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah.
But
and you know this centers around fairly real events.
It is.
Right?
It's very
Tony Blair's
very loosely based on Tony Blair.
Because the author, he was working on another project and set that aside to basically write a book, write the book that this film's based on, and he did it in like 3 months.
Right.
Whipped it out. He felt that the story was so compelling that he wanted to get that out there and, beat everybody else, I guess, to the punch.
Yeah. So I got to go back to the language thing.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No. You're fine. You're fine. There is something that is hilarious about this movie to me. And hopefully I don't get in trouble saying this. In title designer does the credits.
Yeah.
Forgot to use punctuation when writing out the end credits. This resulted in all the assistants being listed as ass designer, ass painter.
Which is the proper abbreviation.
Right, if you have the period. You kind of need that. You know, the punctuation is pretty important there.
What was it again?
I shouldn't say.
Oh, come on, say it loud and proud.
Ass designer. It was ass designer. but can you imagine? I mean, if you're a nerd like me and you ever just stay behind a movie and you read the credits, you know how many assistants there are.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's an assistant to everything. There's an assistant to the actors. There's an assistant to every actor. There's an assistant to the extras. There's an assistant to the coffee guy.
Yeah,
exactly. And all of them in this movie. So be looking for that
assistant
on the credits.
Driver, assistant dog
everything.
Walker, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think that that guy left off the punctuation. It almost sounds intentional.
Well, it's crazy to have that many credits,
I know.
Because you go to the movies now, and it's easily 5 minutes of credits.
And that's if you're not watching a Marvel movie. If you're watching a Marvel movie, it's about 12 minutes of credits. And
when is it not
Disney,
a Marvel movie, right?
Well, we just talked about some Marvel movies a couple weeks ago in our highest grossing movies of all time. Marvel movies,
they get the audience.
They are big sellers.
About the old movies, Casablanca or The Maltese Falcon, a lot of those films had so few credits that they ran before the film.
Oh, yeah. And then you just get the end marquee at the end.
Yeah.
And
the end.
Done.
Dun,
dun, dun.
Or Finn.
Yeah.
And, that was it.
And I always feel bad when there's a film with a lot of credits because then people have to sit through the credits to get to you.
They wait to get to me. There's also that other APN or whatever.
APT.
That runs. APT. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. APT picks all of our movies, and we get a really good movie package from them every year.
But the credits, that's part of the trade now that, say like catering or car service for, drivers for the stars or the director, all of them get a credit now.
Yes.
And that's a big deal.
That's a big deal. And that's how they cut those deals. Hey, give us craft services for half price and we'll put your name in the credits.
Yeah.
It's a big thing. I was reading that another actor who turned down the lead role in this was Hugh Grant.
Of course.
Yeah. Hugh Grant. But we were talking earlier
as
about...
As
the ghost, I guess. Yeah.
Huh.
Turned it down.
Because I can see him in the Lang character, right?
Right.
He played a very similar prime minister in Love Actually.
Right. And you say that kind of...
Tony Blair.
Kind of Tony Blair-like, exactly.
That really upbeat, positive, new blood in number 10. He brings that kind of energy, the same energy that Tony Blair did back in the 90s.
Yeah. And so, yes, this is kind of loosely based on Tony Blair and all the happenings that were going on. So it's a great movie. Check it out. We also have a really cool that I want to talk about before we run out of time here, a really cool celebrity photo this week.
That's right.
With Joe Rowan.
Who is a national and state treasure.
She is, yes.
Ballerina, a great choreographer, great teacher, of dance.
She's the director of the Oklahoma City University program and I've got to work with her a couple times. She's a great lady.
Yeah.
But she sent in a photo with the Lawrence Welk star, Arthur Duncan.
Doctor.
They gave him an honorary doctorate. And yes, he recently passed away January 4th of this year.
Yeah, we're very sad about that.
Very sad. I was lucky. I got to work with him a lot because I edit the Lawrence Welk show each week.
Mm-hmm.
And used to go on the filming locations and everything with them. And man, he was just a nice guy. I mean, just like you couldn't say enough good things about him, you know. And he was just, he was always full of energy, always dancing. I mean, just, you know, just a really, really great guy that, you know, too bad we have to say goodbye to him.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And what a great honor. I mean, it just tickles me that somebody like Joe Rowan watches the movie club.
Right.
She enjoys the films and she watches, you know, you never know who's out there, who's watching. And,
exactly. So,
and
yes.
Of course, every viewer is fantastic.
Of course. And we need you all to send in those celebrity photos
each
week. You'll hear a little address and everything given at the end of this podcast where you can send those in. We love getting those. We love getting the story behind those.
Uh-huh.
And Joe had a great story that goes along with it about him being inducted into the OCU dance program there and giving him an honorary doctorate and just great story. So we want to say thanks to her. And we also want to say thanks to you for listening. And please join us next week when we talk about A Sweet Smell of Success.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great one.
That is a great one. Burt Lancaster and Tony Curtis.
Yes, that is a great one about a couple people that you just love to hate.
And sticks it to Walter Winchell, too.
That's right. So we're out of time.
Oh.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. And until next week, take care.
Bye-bye.
Make sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. You can preview all upcoming OETA Movie Club films at oeta.tv/movie club. And please, send your celebrity photos to P.O. Box 14190, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73113, or you can email them to us at oeta.tv/movie club. And of course, tune in every Saturday night at 9 and on Fridays at 11. We'll see you on the couch every weekend for a great movie and fresh popcorn.